Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, JD. And with me, as always, Mouse in the house.
What up? How's it going, JD?
Not too bad, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm tired, bro, today. I don't know why. It's just been crazy. Nothing specific, but I was, like, struggling. I was kind of hoping you would say, let's do this tomorrow.
Dang, you better bring the energy.
I know. You may not be getting the argument out of me today.
Hey, we've been getting along great, and I don't see... Looking at my show notes, I don't see any way anywhere where I could pick a fight with you.
It's usually Cowboy season. Maybe start of the Spurs season.
And it still baffles me that the Cowboys' moves or lack of moves haven't created a rift between us.
I know, because you're getting tea for Jerry. You're all about him this past few weeks.
I'm not all about him. He's actually had a horrible offseason.
Yeah.
More personal, though. You know what I mean? But I guess I don't see the fire yet. Now, well, you know what? Let's go NBA first, and then we'll get into NFL.
Yeah. Getting off track, bro.
Yeah, so two of the Spurs picks are set in stone. They have the 20th and 25th pick. There were some coin flips to get those situated. And they will have the lottery for their first pick May 17th, I believe. But
a couple weeks away.
Yeah, and I don't want to dive too much into who we want because it's going to depend on where we pick. But just wanted to keep people updated on that. What I wanted to talk to you about, the NBA playoffs are going on. And we'll dive into that. But first, I wanted to look at it from a Spurs perspective. Well, a few Spurs notes.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons didn't play at all.
Yep.
He's been, what would you call it? I mean, you can't say he's not hurt, right? I mean.
They're saying physical and mental. Like, you know, they're saying they'll do whatever they can to help him, but it's going to be, it's both aspects of it.
Yeah. I think I saw something where mentally him trying to get back on the court is triggering his back injury.
That's odd.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to sit here and judge that. What I wanted to talk about, though, is...
Yeah.
I know you were super on board with trading for him.
Yep.
I had come around. I think if I remember correctly, and some of our loyal listeners can keep me honest. If I remember correctly, my thought process was if we do trade him, it'd probably have to be DeJounte Murray that we trade because they have similar skill sets. Luckily for the Spurs, they didn't pull the trigger or didn't even get close to that. You know, Murray blossomed into a bona fide all-star. Murray blossomed into what we all thought Ben Simmons. I guess he still could be.
Yeah.
But Murray is now that guy. And then John Collins. I know I will say you and I were pretty much in agreement on giving him a max deal.
Yeah.
He hasn't shown up in the playoffs either. From a fan perspective, it really feels like Garth Brooks' Unanswered Prayers.
Oh, I like that.
It's the first thing that came to mind when I saw the news about, mainly Simmons. Simmons has been in the news, but John Collins' stat line hasn't been all that great either.
Yeah.
Where's your thought process on those two guys and what the Spurs did and didn't do?
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, right? So I think it's in the Simmons stuff. It's easy to look back now and say, you know, it wasn't a good move. But I think Simmons will figure it out. I think by the time offseason comes and next season starts, you know, I think he'll get it figured out. I think he'll be a stud. I mean, he's still a great defender. I mean, he's an asset for a team, right, if they can fix some of that jump shot stuff. But I think next year he'll be an all-star. I think they'll figure out a way to to make it work for him. Now,
okay.
With that being said, I wouldn't get. I was always on the thought process of, is there any way to make it happen and keep DJ, right? That's where, yeah, I was. If there was a way to make it work that way, that's where it was. You know, Simmons runs that weird like point forward position. He's like a big point guard. So
he's like Magic Johnson.
Yeah. So I thought they could both be on the court at the same time. But I did see something yesterday, maybe, or today. And I don't know if it was on Bleacher Report or some online news source. And it was an article pointing out that he's had issues, like basically checking out of previous teams. Like they said, it's not just something he's done in the NBA. They went back to his LSU days and they said he just wasn't a good teammate at LSU. They said he was just basically there to get the NBA scouts and didn't contribute good much as a team player or as a teammate. And then they also talked about the Australian U.S. national team. Like he said, a few years he was going to play. He hasn't played since he was like 17, and he always says he's going to and then backs out. So there's seems to be a little bit of a reoccurring issue with him checking out of ball clubs. And so that definitely worries me. And I think it's almost like an all or nothing with Ben Simmons. They're either going to get an all-star or he's just not going to cut it. You know, he's not going to make it. And so that's kind of my thoughts on him. As far as John Collins, isn't he coming back from an injury?
I don't know. I think his numbers are about the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not an all-star.
Yeah.
Now we're about a year removed from the talk of Collins and a few months removed from Simmons. Do you take a step back with hindsight, and not just because of what they became, but do you sit back as a Spurs fan and say, okay, we can't be desperate. Not that the Spurs, I mean, they didn't pull the trigger on either one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying more maybe as a fan, or maybe as you look at this offseason.
Yeah.
You look at it and say, okay, we can't be that desperate. Do anything for an all-star or all-star, I guess, type of player.
I mean,
does it give you any caution, or are you still like, you know what, wing it?
I still think you got to make it happen, but I think we're closer than I thought we were, right? I don't think we're missing as many pieces as I thought we did coming into the season. So that, you know, that's a better situation that I think we're in. And, you know, I don't want to give up too much, but I do think we're, you know, without another big name all-star, we're not going to, you know, it's going to be hard to contend.
I agree.
A final spot.
I think it's also we also have to look at how we're going to spend money.
Yep.
Because they will have max cap dollars. They will have first round draft picks to trade or use. So just be a little cautious. If there's red flags, you might not want to pull the trigger. And I mean, the Spurs are smart about this stuff. They didn't pull the trigger. They didn't.
Yeah.
Make any serious overtures towards either one. But I guess something to think about this offseason, right? Because those were the two guys that captivated our hearts and our desires.
Yeah.
But and we'll roll into more free agents. I see the whole Zach LaVine talk is starting to heat up on Spurs Twitter.
Okay, so we know I'm not big on Twitter, right? And I have it occasionally. Yeah. I'll look on it, but I'm not active on there. And I Googled like NBA top free agents coming in like 2022 the other day, and I saw Zach LaVine's name. Mm-hmm. And I know he's tight with DeJounte. So I was actually going to ask you about that. You know, they both have ties to Seattle.
Yeah.
They're close off the court. And it's interesting to hear that Twitter's talking about it. What's going on? What's the word there? Well, what are your thoughts?
There's no rumors. It's kind of what you said. I think Spurs fans are hoping that Murray recruits him. Yeah. And I think Murray will be in his ear. I really like that prospect because he's a scorer. He's a bucket getter. And I said this 2 weeks ago, the Spurs really desperately need two things. They need more size up front. Maybe, you know, something athletic up front. They need some talent on the front court, and they need a scorer. And I think I even said, I don't know if I said on Twitter or on here or on both, but I don't care if you're calling DeJounte Murray Batman or Robin. I think somebody brought that question up. Is he a Batman? Does he need a Robin? Or has he got to be somebody, you know, what he needs, looking objectively, he needs a scorer, someone that goes and gets buckets. You know, Murray's a guy that he affects the game throughout the game. He's kind of like Emmitt Smith, right? Emmitt Smith would just keep getting the rock. Yeah. And then you look and you're like, holy crap, he's got 150 yards, two touchdowns, you know, three, four catch. You know, he grinds it out. Murray affects the game throughout the entire game. And that's why the play-in game sucked, because he got taken out real quick.
Yeah, and the thing is, Murray's sometimes he's just not hot. You need somebody else out there that can,
and that's
that
what I mean,
go and get the buckets.
He's going to give you 18 to 20, but if there's somebody that you can count on to go get a basket,
mm-hmm.
the way C.J. McCollum was against the Spurs. Yep. I like LaVine a lot for that aspect, because LaVine's not the strongest defender, but on the Spurs team, who has a, you know, we have a lot of good wing defenders.
Yeah.
We need someone to go get buckets. He's a bona fide all-star. Him and Murray will probably get along great in the backcourt together. I just talked about being cautious with your money. I'm okay making a run at him. And I know there's some on Twitter that think, you know, well, when I brought him up a few weeks ago, there's people on Twitter that were, oh, that's a pipe dream. Maybe the Spurs or free agents don't come here. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. But I think that's the guy the Spurs should be going for. I think, a year or two older than Murray. He's best friends with Murray. Their games fit really well together. That's a backcourt you build your franchise around. I think there's a shot because of Murray and because it fits and because we have the money. So I'm definitely going to pay attention to how the Bulls handle that. Do they want to max him out? If they don't, then the door's open.
Yeah,
I think if the Bulls decide they will max him out, I don't think he leaves Chicago. But if they say, we're not willing to go all in on you, then the door's open for the Spurs. Very much so.
Yeah.
And I don't know who wrote, I don't know what website it was today, matter of fact. I don't know if it was The Athletic or somebody named the Spurs as the dark horse, you know, to nab them. Because I think because of everything we're saying, right? They have the money.
Yep.
They have the fit. They have Murray. So it might be just a pipe dream, but he fits this team better than a Ben Simmons, naturally. Or John Collins. He's more prolific at scoring than John Collins. So I like it. I like it a lot. But we'll see.
Yeah.
But he's my target.
And you look at the Bulls are coming off a pretty good season, right? DeMar's had a good season for them, and they put together a really good roster, and then they're about to get kicked out in the first round, right? So that I think that definitely plays a part in his decisions. I would assume it would in mine if I was him.
Yeah, and like I said, I really think it comes down to if the Bulls want to max him or not.
Yeah,
because I mean, this will be his. I think he's 27, so this will probably be his
big contract.
His biggest contract. This is where he needs, if he wants to cash in, this is the time. So that's what I'll be looking at. And I've seen more and more Spurs fans on Twitter mention it now. But I'm glad. I'm excited. That's what I would keep an eye on. As for the playoffs, we mentioned the Nets. Isn't it crazy that how badly they got
a that was horrible. That was shocking.
I don't know. It's crazy to think that they have Kyrie and Durant and they can't win a playoff game, let alone a series. But with
KD
them,
looked bad.
Yeah, he did. And with them, they have to wait on Simmons, right? Because they're not going to get value for him if they trade him.
No.
And they desperately now need another playmaker. all they can do is hope for the best for next year. And maybe that's it. Maybe for them, Kyrie will be able to play all the games.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, hopefully for them, Simmons plays. But it's a mess.
You're hopeful if you're a Nets fan, right? That's what you're hoping for.
You're betting Kyrie on that back.
Yeah.
back.
Yeah. For sure. Anything else stand out to you as far as this first round of the playoffs?
Luka looking good for the Mavs.
Yeah.
I think when your star player plays well and helps you, they should advance.
He's good,
man. It's bright for them. It's a bright future for them. The Celtics, just in general, there's someone that they look like they could make a run for the finals.
Yeah.
I think the East will still run through Milwaukee, but that stands out to me. And that's really it. It's kind of been going chalk, right? Well, the Pelicans have been giving the Suns issues, but there's no Booker, so that's not shocking.
Yeah. I feel like there's been a lot of national talk about Golden State being surprising, and I was like, I don't understand why. I'm not sure. I mean, they've looked good most of the season when everybody's playing. I mean, they're going to be a contender. I don't know why it seems like national media is like shocked that they're doing so well.
I think they're just trying to rally around a good story, or a story
yeah.
of star power. They're trying to hitch your wagon to the stars.
Yeah.
It's a fun playoffs because there's no team that looks like, oh, usually in the NBA you could pencil in one or two mm-hmm. teams in the finals. This feels very up in the air, and that's exciting. That's good yeah. for the league. It's crazy that Durant or LeBron aren't even in the playoffs anymore.
Yeah.
So we're going to get fresh blood. I mean, I know Giannis won it last year, but it still feels fresh. It'll be new blood. It's good for basketball. So I'm excited. I'm one mm-hmm. of those guys that usually pouts a little bit when my team's not in anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm over it now. I'm ready
to. You seem like a pouter.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure I watched it. Divisional round of the NFL, but I was probably still pouty about it. But speaking of the NFL, the draft is this week. We've talked a little bit about the draft, but I'm ready to dive in. And we were talking about, I just said with the NBA, it's nice that it's very up in the air. Doesn't this year's draft feel up in the air?
Yeah.
There's no clear cut number one. There's no Mm-mm. there's no quarterback that has got to go first.
Yeah, nobody's really standing out towards the top at all. I mean,
I've weird. Seen every mock draft because I look at so many mock drafts. They're so all over the place.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. So I will say this, I don't care who your team is, whether it's the Cowboys, Broncos, whoever. Don't be upset when your team drafts somebody that wasn't in a mock draft because this year's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you always see fans, I think they know more than the team because they looked at a bunch of mock drafts. Yeah. And they'll say things like, oh, he was a reach. You could have had him in the second. I mean, this year, that's out the window. Even if you think you know, if you've been looking at mock drafts, they're sprayed all over the place.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get too caught up in being upset on who your team got because this is a wild draft this year. Now, one thing you could be upset about if you're a type of fan that wants them to draft for need.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of want. But this is gonna be crazy. I'm excited just because it's even the first pick. We don't know who the first pick's gonna be.
And it stuck up on me. Like I was like, oh dang, it's already this week. Like it's coming. I didn't know it was I mean, I guess if I look at the calendar, it's obvious, right? But it felt like it snuck up on me. So I'm stoked for the draft.
That is nice, right? It's nice when there's something on Thursday. You go, oh, that's going to be really fun to
yeah.
watch. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I think I'm going to go watch it somewhere. Yeah, I'm excited for that draft. Now, in your dream scenario, who would fall to the Cowboys? Like, who would the Cowboys pick? Make it semi-realistic, but
yeah.
Who's your dream player?
I think it's that guard, Lindenbaum. How do you say his name?
Tyler Lindenbaum.
Yeah, from Iowa, okay. Right?
And what's funny about that is I've seen mocks where he falls in the second round.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. So I guarantee you, if the Cowboys draft Tyler Linderbaum, there's going to be fans. I promise you. Oh, Jerry's so stupid. Why he could have had him in the second. Yeah. Even though NFL.com, our NFL network, has the Cowboys mocked it. Him mocked to the Cowboys in the first. But you will see those. I almost guarantee you'll see those. That's a good pick. I'm a big fan of drafting interior linemen in the first round this year. Yeah. Because it's an instant upgrade. It's someone that you could plug in. He's going to start right away. Yeah. And he makes your offensive line better. One thing with the Cowboys, I've defended their offseason to a degree, but they haven't gotten better anywhere. I think they've kind of maintained the ship. You know what I mean? But a guard or center in the first round, I'm comfortable saying the Cowboys offensive line is better than last year's.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really like that pick. Okay, so that's who you, why do you have him, just out of curiosity, why do you have him over the other interior guards, interior linemen? Just as your dream scenario.
Yeah, I've just seen him, like when I watch tape on him and the way he's played, it just seems like he's just a step ahead of the other ones.
Okay.
I think he's versatile too. So I think, when I look at the other ones like Zion Johnson or.
Yeah. Kenyon Green.
Yeah, Green from A&M. I feel like generally most mock drafts have him going before those two. But again, you're going to get all sorts of mock. When you get this close, there's been like five versions of everybody's mock draft. So they start switching everything up. So
yeah,
that's kind of why I'm there with him. And Iowa puts out, you know, good linemen, right? And so just kind of
okay.
What my heart feels.
I do like it. Like I said, any of the three guys you just mentioned, I'll be extremely happy.
Yeah.
But if it was my dream scenario.
Do it.
I would want Jordan Davis to slide.
Oh, okay.
Who did you think? Who did you want?
I thought you were going to say Olave.
Oh, I like Olave, but his stock's rising. So now he's not sniffing 24.
Yeah.
I do like Olave a lot. I really do.
You were going.
Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle from Georgia.
Yeah.
If he falls to 24, I don't care what your needs are. You go grab him.
Yeah.
Now, another thing, though, is you draft him. You shore up your run defense. And then I can say, oh, our defensive line is better than last year's. You have him plugging in the middle along with Osa, who had a great rookie year.
Yeah.
Is it Gallimore?
Neville Gallimore, yep.
Neville Gallimore. They've got a good foundation of tackles.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very okay with who we got going into next year.
Where did they have him slotted to go?
Jordan Davis?
Yeah.
He's starting to slip.
Like high teens?
Yeah. To where it's optimistic.
Yeah.
/ realistic. There's been talk of Thibodeau sliding far enough to where the Cowboys move up for him.
Huh.
Which would be amazing too, just because at one point he was the number one overall prospect. Yeah. And if you can grab him at 14 or so, it'd be tough giving up picks because I think we need all three of our first three picks.
Yeah.
But if he becomes a generational edge, you can't pass that up. I'll be okay. I'll be okay with that. But if Jordan Davis falls to us, I think our interior defensive line goes from solid to really, really good. Like yeah. Really. And when you're good on the trenches, when you're good on the line, it's easier to do everything else.
Yeah.
Like have Micah Parsons roam and things like that.
And I'll say this, if Philly's got a few picks before us, right? And so yeah. If somehow you see them go out and grab Davis, which they very well could, right? It's a need for them. We need to go out and draft that interior lineman.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. It is. I don't even want to say this on air because I might jinx myself. It's almost impossible to upset me in this draft.
Wow. You heard it here first. Yeah.
Because interior lineman, I like it.
Wait. Usually a first round wide receiver upsets you. This year, you'll be all right?
Yeah. Because
it's a huge need.
Not that it's a need, but what I didn't like about Lamb is we had a lot of resources.
Yeah.
We had just paid Cooper $20 million. And then you're throwing a first round pick on top of that.
Yeah.
The only guy I don't want is Burks. I just don't like, he just seems a little too slow. And
that's a receiver, right?
Yeah, from Arkansas. Yeah. He just seems like a plodding, slower receiver.
Yeah.
But if it's an interior lineman, I don't care which one of the three it is, I'll be happy. If Davis falls, I'll be really happy. If they trade up for Thibodeau and they think he's that good, okay, we'll plug holes elsewhere. But having an elite edge rushers,
it's a game changer.
Yeah, I'll take it. It'll be really hard for the Cowboys to make me mad in this first round. I know they've brought in a lot of tight ends, so I think they're going to make you happy.
Yeah.
I think they've, out of the 30 visits, I think there was three of them tight ends or four.
Really?
There was a good amount. Like every insider is pretty much guaranteeing they're taking the tight end. So I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I'm excited for that because
anyone that listened to the last episode we had, that's where your heart is.
Yeah. We're going to have way too much money tied up in tight end next year and this year already, but. What about so who's picking, who's going to be in charge of our first round pick, Jerry or Steven? Because there's a joke made today.
Yeah, so those that don't know, Jerry made a joke that Steven was the one that picked Taco Charlton, but that Jerry picked Micah Parsons.
People don't like him, but he seems like one of the boys, right? Like he's taking shots at his son on national media, and I loved it. Bro. I was laughing.
What I don't like is he runs it like an old frat guy. I mean. Yeah, I think he'd be extremely fun to hang around with. I just don't want him in charge of my franchise.
Player personnel.
Yeah. Now, how does Taco feel? Like, Taco's, like, at home.
I saw he tweeted or he put it on Instagram of, like, a GIF. Wait, do you say GIF or GIF?
I think it's
Have we GIF. Talked about that? No, I say, I think I say GIF. All right.
We sound so
weird. He put out a little animated picture of a moving JPEG of what is the guy's name, an actor, and he's like crying with wiping his tears with money. So it was Woody Harrelson. Funny.
Okay.
He put out like Woody Harrelson wiping his tears with money. So you know he made kind of commented on it, but yeah, I thought that was funny that Jerry said that, and obviously we know it's not true. I mean, Steven's been calling the shots for a while now, right? We saw T.O. leave and then Dez leave, Amari leave. That's all Steven Jones. See us night or Jerry night get Johnny Manziel, right? Steven's been running the show for a while. So I think
okay, it was on Twitter.
Twitter, did you see it?
And it's I think it's Zombieland with Woody Harrelson wiping his tears with money. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought that was funny, but we'll see how it all shakes out. A couple of depending on when you listen to this, maybe a day away, maybe the day of.
Randy Gregory also responded.
Oh, he did.
Hill hath no fury like a scorned owner. Man needs to let it go and go find his war daddy already.
Is that what he's? That's what Gregory tweeted.
Yeah, word for word. Yeah. You know what's not talked about enough? And maybe because he mucked the water with his fake rumor about the language. I mean, let's be honest. And maybe we talked about it already, but Dallas, Texas offered him the same amount of money as Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
But there's one big difference between those two states.
Oh, come on.
And here's the thing. Randy Gregory, you know, he medicates with marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a necessity, okay. I don't, you know, You can see, I guess you don't even have to say that. It's none of our business, right? If that's where he chose where he wants to go. I'm surprised it's not part of the narrative. But I think right now it's because the narrative, people love to say that Jerry and Steven are messing up the whole offseason. So they're going to run with that. And again, it's so weird that I'm defending these guys all offseason when the whole world's turned against them.
Yeah, the story, the headlines or the clickbait is Jerry muffed it, right? Jerry messed it up, not necessarily that Gregory picked it because of the state of Colorado.
I guess because Gregory put the story out that, oh, it's because of this language.
Yeah.
Even though the language was in every contract.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised that wasn't more of a story. But I guess if he wasn't honest about it, I think people don't want to feel like they're, what's the word? Bullying him.
Yeah.
So they don't want to bring it up. But, you know, more power to him. You get canceled.
Yeah, you can get canceled.
Jerry should have brought that up. That would have been a funnier joke than the taco joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before we move on from the draft, what positions do they have to take in your eyes? You don't think they can be a player, but and they got, what, 7, 8, or 9 picks. What positions do you have to see?
I have to see offensive linemen.
Okay.
It's almost like the whole – no, I guess not all of them. I have to see offensive linemen. I have to see defensive line. I have to see a tight end drafted.
Okay.
And I guess those are my only have-tos. I'd like to see a running back, and I'd like to see a quarterback.
Okay. Why defensive line, just out of curiosity?
Just because I think we're not quite as deep. And I think you constantly need to be drafting defensive linemen to see if you can develop the talent and, you know, get it for cheap, right? If you can figure out a way to win there, I think it's huge. Because obviously generally it's a team spends a lot of money on defensive line. So if you can make it hit with like a rookie contract, it's a big savings for the team.
I'm with you on everything you said.
Except?
No, not except. Oh. I was gonna bring up there's a position that I don't think is a need at all. And you didn't mention it at all either. But a lot of Cowboys Twitter feels it's a need, and that's linebacker.
Okay.
There's a lot of linebacker talk, and Pro Football Focus allows fans to do a mock draft of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone I see has at least one linebacker. I don't think it's a need. I'll say this. I don't think they need to draft a potential starter. If they throw some late picks at the position for depth, that might be needed. But I don't call that a need. You know, you can pick up some depth. Why isn't that on your list? Just out of curiosity, because it's on a lot of people's list. And I agree with you. I just want to know your reasoning why it's not on your list.
Well, the biggest reason is we have Jabril Cox coming back.
Oh, yeah. So those that don't know, this podcast is very much a Jabril Cox fan club.
Yeah.
We love us some Jabril Cox.
We love us some
Cox.
No.
Someone's going to say it anyway.
Edit that out, please.
Okay, so that's probably where the reason why you and I are on the same page then.
Yeah. Now, I will say, like, if you look at late-round draft picks, usually teams start throwing a bunch of picks at linebacker. Usually there's a running back. There's offensive linemen because you need so many of those guys to get through OTAs and to get through training camps.
That's a good point.
And to take those starting reps or to take the reps from the other guys. So I think there'll definitely be a linebacker drafted. Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's a need.
So our streak of agreeing on most things keeps going.
I know.
I do want a kicker with one of my last picks. I want a kicker.
You want Dicker the kicker?
That'd be great. I wouldn't mind that. That'd be great. I don't even think we have a kicker on the roster, to be honest.
Did we re-sign Anger? I think we did, right? The punter? We're not a focus.
Yeah, the punter.
The punter, yes. Yeah.
We don't have our, as of right now.
Yeah, Greg DeLink.
The week one kicker is not on the roster.
Sure.
So that's not a luxury. That's a need right now. So Please don't. And I said this last week, our last episode. Do not melt down when they take Dicker the Kicker or somebody else in the fifth or sixth round or seventh round.
Yeah, it's not the same as taking like a kicker in a fifth or sixth of a fantasy draft, boys. Like, it's completely different.
They're either going to take a third string linebacker.
Yeah, that's going to get cut. Or your
starting kicker. So look at it that way. I do want a running back too. Especially if, you know, Pollard's on the last year of his deal. The rumor is Zeke, they can cut him after this year if that's the route. So you need something back there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going to use Pollard in more of a Deebo Samuel type of role.
Yeah.
They did that in spurts. You know, run some sweeps, throw them out in the flats. If they want to expand on that, you need some more depth at the running back position just in case.
Like, if I was an offensive coordinator and I had Tony Pollard and I saw how he played, I'd figure out more ways to get him the ball. But just seems to not be of interest to Kellen. He likes tight end screens and safe bets that just don't go anywhere.
So we need those tight ends, baby.
Yeah.
Running backs are a big one. Interior linemen's a big one. I still like to see a receiver because you can get them. You can get a third round receiver, and that ends up being your starting slot, and a good one at that.
Yeah, we got a draft receiver. I think I didn't mention that. That's a huge need.
But I'm excited because I don't have big expectations, like as far as what I want. Like, remember last year we were dialed in on cornerback, quarterback, cornerback, and it didn't happen, so we were a little bummed. And then we got Parsons, which made everything okay. This year it's just more about I want to see where it fits the roster. How does our roster look after? Because in my opinion, and I say this all the time, you have to draft starters with your first two picks because of the salary cap and always improving.
Mm-hmm.
A really good team will draft starters, or at least potential starters, with their first three picks. So let's say they go guard first, easy starter. Second round, they can go off the wall with whatever falls to them. I don't even care. And then third round receiver, that's a really good draft.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And then draft tight end fourth.
There you go.
Now we're excited.
I can't wait to congratulate you when they draft a tight end. What's going to be bigger for you in the next few weeks? The Cowboys getting a tight end or having a baby?
Don't say that. I'm going to tell my wife you asked me that.
Well, I'm going to tell her what you answer, so you better.
Having a baby, bro.
Okay.
While we're in a new tight end's jersey.
You're going to buy your baby a fourth round draft pick tight end jersey.
He'll be around for a little while.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. All right. Our division has a lot of picks in the first round. So will you be watching closely?
Yeah, I love the NFL draft. So I'll definitely be watching the entire 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is that first Thursday night.
Yeah.
Friday night I usually watch, and then Saturday I'll kind of follow along from wherever I'm at.
Yeah, because Friday's second and third round. So those are, again, those are still money rounds in my opinion. Yeah. You got to get some value there. All right. Do you prefer the NFL Network or ESPN coverage?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or do you just jump back and forth?
I usually jump back and forth for sure.
Okay.
But I think I tend to favor NFL Network.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm a big fan of both. I think I have faults with ESPN. With some of what they do. I don't like their NBA coverage. I don't like their desk. I hate Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
I don't like Stephen A. Smith. But I really like their NFL people. I think NFL and college football, ESPN does a great job covering those sports. And I like the personalities and the people they have there. Yeah. And the NFL Network, is also really, really good. I'm a big fan of Good Morning Football and Irvin and Steve Mariucci. And so I do tend to jump back and forth. And if I go somewhere, I'll be at the mercy of whatever is on TV. I'm sure it'll be ESPN. I think every bar, restaurant kind of goes to ESPN first for anything. Yeah. You just leave it on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. I know the Eagles have two picks. Don't the Giants have two picks as well? Early too.
They may. Yeah, the Giant. God, the Eagles have so many. The Giants picking 7 and 5. Yeah, yeah.
They got real early. I mean, this will. Yeah. I need them to really bomb those picks.
This is gonna be the first official year with the Commanders, huh?
Yeah, they pick 11. And then, yeah, so we'll see. The Lions have the first or the second and 32nd pick. They have the Rams first-round pick. What's funny is there's a lot of teams with multiple picks, and there's a lot of teams with no picks in the first round.
Yeah.
Because the Lions have two picks. The Chiefs have two picks. Eagles and Giants have two.
Two?
Is it three? They traded one, didn't they?
Yeah, you're right. It's two.
The Texans are finally back. Oh, the Texans have two picks. For our Texan fans listening, you get the third overall pick. They seem content on their quarterback, so that's a good thing, because now you can just go grab best available player with the number 3 and number 13 pick.
They may get Olave at 13 if they want
to. That wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be bad. Now, it's funny that so many teams have multiple picks. There's a lot of fan bases that have no skin in the game for the first round.
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
Yeah. Did you watch a couple years ago when we lost our first round for Coop? Did you still watch that year? Was that like 19?
I did, because I'm a big fan of the draft in general. I'm a big fan of, I love college football. So I still watched. It's weird watching without a pick.
Yeah.
It does take some fun out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I remember last year when we got Parsons, you and I were excited.
Yeah.
Because we liked Parsons a lot. I'm not going to, you know, like I said, we did want a corner. But once that was gone, we went back to our Parsons dream.
Yeah. Sir Tanner Parsons was kind of our, like November the previous year, I think, is when that
we were talking Parsons early.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of fan bases that aren't going to care too much. I mean, they'll watch the draft, like Dink.
Yeah.
I guess we should have had Josh on here to see if he's going to watch the draft. I mean, I'm sure he is, but that's interesting. And speaking of Josh and the 49ers, I am so intrigued by the Deebo Samuel situation. What intrigues me is he's an all-pro player.
Yeah.
All-pro. But a lot of his value is the way he's used, which is what he apparently has an issue with. So what do you do with that? So first of all, if you're a team trading for him, but you know he doesn't want to be lined up in the backfield, that lowers his value to an extent. And if you're the Niners, you want to get a lot back because he's all pro. But if he lowered his own value by saying he doesn't want to line up in the backfield, do you want to give him up? Also, if you're going to hold on to him, how does that work? Because he doesn't want to be used that way? Or do you say, hey, we're going to pay you a stupid amount of money because we know you're used in a special... Like, that whole situation just intrigues me. I honestly don't know the answer. I'm not going to pretend to have a strong opinion on it. I mean, I'm just very intrigued by what his market is. And what do you do with that? I'm so intrigued. That thing just...
I don't know if there's any way John Lynch can keep him. Like, I feel like it's too far gone.
But they said they have a great relationship. Like, they say they still love him. It's just that Deebo doesn't want to be used that way. You probably have to trade him.
Yeah.
But again, you're not going to get... He's not worth to anybody else what he's worth to you, because he doesn't want to do some of the role. And what is his value as a just receiver?
Yeah, I mean, is he an all-pro wideout?
Probably not by itself.
Yeah.
Also, are you going to trade a first for a wide receiver when there's a bunch of them coming out in the first round?
Yeah.
And then you could draft Olave. He'll be cheaper than Debo, and he won't have any limitations of what he wants to do. So I think the Niners are going to have to somehow work out this relationship.
As long as he doesn't end up in our division, right? I don't want him to go to the Eagles, who's I've seen but thrown if, around.
But if he doesn't want to do the things that make him great, then I'm okay with that, too.
But is that true, too? Because I've heard, like, the opposite. Like, is that really the...
Nobody knows for sure. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's also, do other teams know how to use him like that?
Yeah, because he was excited about that position. I think he didn't he call himself like a wide back, like he created a position.
He created his name, yeah. And the funny thing is, CeeDee Lamb was like, I want to be a wide back.
Yeah.
So I hope Kellen Moore inserts some of that for him and Pollard.
Yeah.
But as far as Deebo Samuel, that's such a unique. Also, the value of wide receivers. We saw two of the top, five wide receivers in the NFL get traded. Some teams still overvalue wide receivers. And some teams are like, we could just grab them in the draft. So there's such a difference in mindset right now in the NFL as far as receivers. And then Debo's even a more special case. So that whole situation intrigues me.
I don't want you to talk for him, but what did Jay Spezy, what does Josh think? Have you ran it by him?
A little bit. I'm sure his thought process is if we're gonna let him go, let's at least get a first.
Yeah.
So you can just get another receiver. Not that he'll plug in and play just as Debo does, but at least you're back in the first round and you're getting something else. Because I think Josh is. We talked about what the fan bases do when they don't have a pick. I think he's still between Debo and Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Josh is still hoping the Niners trade into the first somehow.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's another thing, too, is let's say a team like the Steelers are eyeballing a quarterback, and they're like, oh, you know what? One of these guys are going to fall to us because nobody likes them. And then out of the blue, somebody takes Malik Willis. Do the Steelers think of Jimmy G as a backup plan and make a call? So, between him and Debo, I think Niner fans and Josh are hoping they're still having some action on Thursday. But we'll see. This draft's going to be fun because the value of players, I think everybody's draft board is up in the air.
It's kind of all over the place.
Even the Cowboys have said, I think they only value 16 guys as first-round picks.
Wow.
Which means there's a good chance that they don't value – there won't be anybody that they value as a first-rounder when they pick. So the Cow – I mean, I'm talking about other fan bases. The Cowboys might not be picking on Thursday. They might trade back.
Yeah, trade back.
So we'll see. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to next week's episode with us. We can digest all this. In addition to more NBA playoffs, we still won't know where the Spurs pick, but we'll get closer to that. But I think next week's episode will be more about digesting what happened on draft night. And we'll get into baseball a little bit, I think, after the draft. I know you're a big Astros fan, but a lot of San Antonio is. I'm a Rangers guy. I guess the other half of San Antonio is.
Yeah.
But you know what? I do want to bring up one topic of baseball. Something did come out where the Yankees. Did you see the Yankees got caught?
I saw a headline of it, but I didn't dig into it.
All right, we'll digest that for next week.
Okay.
As an Astros fan, I want to know your thoughts on that, and we'll dive into. Like right now, the Astros and Rangers are both struggling, but it's extremely early in the season.
Yeah.
And they're actually playing right now. The Rangers won the first game of the series, and it looks like the Astros, barring a miracle, will take game two of the series tonight. So we'll dive into that. I want you to digest what the Yankees did and didn't do and as an Astros fan. We'll do that next week. But before you go, before you get ready for the draft,
mm-hmm.
the world wants to know, Mouse, what are you watching?
Man, I watched some TV this weekend.
All right. So did I. So.
Yeah. A couple of things, but before I get into what I watched, mm-hmm. I'm so ready for Ozark to come out in a couple of days.
Yes.
Because I haven't watched it, like, I don't want to say live, but I binged it, if y'all remember, between the last, like, half season and then this half season that's about to end. So we're about to start. So I'm stoked for that. I cannot wait to watch that. But this past weekend, I started a Netflix documentary, I guess, show mm-hmm. called Bad Sport. Have you seen that? It talks about each episode. No,
I don't think so.
Each episode breaks down a sport, something that's happened in sports that was like bizarre and tragic and usually involves like breaking the law, like a horrible sporting event. And so it's super interesting because the first three, I don't think I've ever heard of. The first episode breaks down like an Arizona State University college basketball players shaving points.
Nice. And how they,
yeah, and so it talks about that and interviews them. And so super interesting. The second episode I saw talked about this guy who started smuggling weed in like the 80s out of Florida and became like the leading NASCAR or just race car drivers in the U.S. and how he used the drug operation to fund his race car habit.
Nice.
And he was actually like one rookie of the year at the Indy 500.
Nice.
His rookie year. So it was super interesting. They interview that guy. So they dig into that stuff. And the third one is talks about some Italian soccer league team, Juventus, buying or like getting refs to side with them and kind of favor them in matches. So
that's
it's
cool.
It's good stuff. Yeah, it's really good stuff. So definitely got to check that out. I'm three episodes in. It's called Bad Sport on Netflix. And the other thing I watched on HBO Max, and I watched it and I was interested to say the name to you and see if you know this name. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Diego Maradona.
No.
Okay, so he is, and it's just so, when I, like, I watched the documentary, and it's just weird how we are so cut off from the world, because he's, like, the greatest, arguably the best, if not number two, greatest soccer player of all time.
Okay.
Like, he's up there with Pele. Like, usually it's him or Pele is one and two, depending on who you're talking to. But I just remember, you know, I didn't really start watching soccer. I think it was, like, the 2002 World Cup is really when I started watching. So I didn't really know that guy's name. And he's Argentinian and then went and played for Napoli or Naples, right? The soccer team in Italy.
Okay.
And he left Barcelona, Naples. They had to buy out his contract, and he had like at that time he had the biggest contract buyout of any sports person ever. And then someone bought him out from Napoli, and he had the second highest. So it's kind of crazy. Anyway, probably the greatest of all time. But I remember when I went to Italy, and I saw like I was with my family, and we're there at the Naples Stadium, and they asked me about him, and like even then I was like, Diego Maradona, sounds familiar. And they're like, a soccer player. And I was like, oh yeah, I know him. But he's like a god to them and to the rest of the world. Like he's a god to people. And we don't, like, their names don't really ring a bell to us. It was just crazy to think that.
So it's a documentary about him?
Yeah, it's a documentary. Long story short, a documentary on him, his kind of rise and fall. It's a lot of kind of Kanye West-ish where they had interviews and someone was following him during that time.
Okay.
And he's since died. But it's a documentary about his life and his career. But it just as I was watching, I was just amazed. Like, man, we really have no idea about like the big names in soccer. Like most Americans are cut off from it.
I think soccer is bigger now. I do see a lot. I see a lot of people on Twitter. They pick a team in the Premier League, and they run. That's their squad.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of soccer, before we keep going on what we're watching,
yeah,
shout out to my soccer team, San Antonio FC, baby.
Oh yeah,
they beat Austin FC, and I did watch the whole thing on
you ESPN did
Plus. Yeah, I will How say was this. That? I will say this: two of our longtime listeners, Ruben and Harry, they're big soccer guys. Amazing, San Antonio. I think they're both San Antonio FC season ticket holders. And one of our newer listeners, or two of our newer listeners, the Jimenez couple, also season ticket holders. So they've gotten me involved. And last year, San Antonio FC made a run for the title. And that hooked me.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't watch the World Cup men's because we're not good. We're not good enough to compete. I do watch the girls, but I do watch San Antonio FC. And I'm going to say this on air. I promise the Jimenez family, Ruben, Harry, I will go to at least one San Antonio FC game this year. Oh, you're going with me because you live down the street.
Yeah, it's right up the street from me. My little girl's starting to play soccer. So
yeah, she'll love take
it.
Her. Yep.
Yeah, she'll love it. So and I'm down. Let's make it happen.
Those listeners have been inviting me for 2 years now, and I feel so – now, you know, COVID's hit, so I wasn't going out too many places. But this year – no excuses. I follow the team now. A lot of it's 90% of the reason I follow them is because of our listeners. Big win over Austin FC. I've never wanted to win a soccer game more just because of everything, the backstory of that.
What did they win? 1-0?
2-1, I think.
2-1, okay.
Yeah. Toyota Field looks amazing, the crowd. And I get FOMO now. Now that when I see games on San Antonio FC, I think they're playing in 2 weeks on a Saturday. My kid's got a golf tournament, but I'll be able to go this summer, and I will go, and we are gonna go.
Yeah, for sure.
Take them up on that offer. But yeah, I wanted to bring that up, and I completely forgot because it's been over a week. But you brought up soccer, and I gotta give it to San Antonio FC. I love their colors. I love the uniforms. I love their social media team is really cool. They put a good video out about how MLS did us wrong and Austin FC did us wrong and the revenge. It was cool. I liked it a lot.
Like it.
And I will say this to my San Antonio FC fans. I get offered tickets to Austin FC all the time because I have a cousin. My cousin has multiple season tickets, and I will not go. I'm going to stick it. I'm going to stick with San Antonio FC. That's my squad. It's on ESPN Plus, which, man, ESPN Plus is awesome. I think I watched UTSA baseball games on there. I was watching the Longhorns and UT Rio Grande Valley right now. I love ESPN Plus, but a big reason also is San Antonio FC is on there. So shout out to those guys. Big win for the city.
Yeah.
But keep going, man. What else are you watching?
That's it. Those are kind of the two things that I had, I think. Yeah, that's it. That's what I got. What about you, JD? You watched some TV this past week?
Yes. So I am still hooked on HBO Max Winning Time.
I don't want to change the subject, but did you see? I think there's another Magic documentary.
Oh, it's on my list, baby.
Oh, okay.
All right, coming around. Okay, so Winning Time. It's about the rise of the Lakers dynasty. It's very graphic. And it paints pretty much everybody involved in a bad light. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, did I talk about this last week? I don't know if I did, but he even wrote an op-ed in the Hollywood Reporter bashing the show. But he had a very good point as to why he bashed it. He says, You made us one-dimensional caricatures, and you focus on these horrible points. A lot of this didn't happen. Jerry West has said he might sue the show.
Wow.
Magic Johnson refuses to watch it. I think the events that happen are real. They happened. It's the way they portray the individuals. They kind of go over the top. Kind of like, remember when ESPN had the show called Playmakers?
Oh, yeah.
And the NFL's like, y'all got to stop this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, except it's real people. And HBO doesn't have to stop it because they don't have any affiliation with the NBA. So I watch it with a grain. It's extremely entertaining. It's a great show, but I'm also interested to hear the perspective of the real people. As you mentioned, there's an actual documentary. So Winning Time is a scripted show. Like, it's got actors. John C. Reilly plays Jerry Buss. Apple TV has a Magic documentary called They Call Me Magic. It's also really, really good. Magic Johnson has a really cool life. Cool, I don't want to say cool. It's extremely interesting life. Starts from the beginning. Like, when he starts high school, he gets bused to a white school to, you know, desegregate schools. And he hates it. He's called upon to calm down tensions. So even from the beginning, he's always had to use, like, people want to use his charm to kind of ease the tension. It's funny watching Winning Time and then his documentary, because you get both sides of it. They Call Me Magic's focus more on his life, obviously, but it's good. I've been knee deep in Magic Johnson Laker type documentaries, but Magic Johnson's cool. I like it a lot. It's very well done. What else is on my list? Oh, I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks. Or we haven't done this podcast. Paramount Plus. I started Mayor of Kingstown.
Oh, all right.
It's really good. It's good. Really, really good. Yeah, I like it.
Where are you?
Episode 4. Yeah.
Okay.
They hit you with something very quickly.
Oh, I was so mad about that, right? I was like, no, I can't. No.
And that's a newer trope that TV shows have done. I've seen it a few times, but I wasn't expecting it.
I know, that fast.
I've seen it a few times on TV, but it's been a while, man. But Yellowstone did the same thing, if you remember. I don't want to give anything away, but just for your ears. But it's a really good show. I really like it.
Glad.
My wife watched this show called The Biggest Little Farm on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this family in LA. They said, you know what? Let's start a farm. So they buy this old, deserted, I think it was a lemon farm at one point. And they buy it, and it turns out the soil is crap. Everything about that farm is, you know, it's just destroyed. So the original show, The Biggest Little Farm, is about how they rejuvenate their farm by using, you know, basically the circle of life, like the Lion King taught us. You know, these animals help this soil. These animals protect these animals. It's really interesting way of doing it. I think the documentary goes, I think it's a 10-year window of how they grew this. Pretty cool. And then on Disney Plus, they did a 30-minute, like, part two on how things are going.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really interesting. I was glued to my TV for those. What else did I watch? Oh, one other thing. I watched the documentary on Hulu. It's called Captive Audience.
Oh, I've been wanting to watch that.
It's good, dude.
Is it?
I didn't know anything about the story. So just to hook you, everybody, there's 3 episodes. It's about this little boy who gets kidnapped and 7 years later gets returned. I'm not spoiling anything. You know this up front. And the documentary is about, obviously, what happened to him, but also what happened to him and his family after the fact. There's a twist. So I was on episode 2, right, watching episode 2, and I was like, I wonder if anyone's watching this. So I looked up, and I shouldn't have done this, Twitter. I went to Twitter, hashtag captive audience.
Don't do it.
Well, I saw a spoiler real quick. The spoiler was so out of left field. It was so bonkers. My wife's like, what happened? I said, oh, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to ruin it. She goes, just tell me. It's a documentary. I could look it up. And I told her what I had read. And she's like, oh, you're going to just bullshit me? You're not going to really tell me? She didn't believe what I was saying.
That wild.
That's how wild it was. And that all happens in episode 3. It's a really good documentary. There's so many layers to it. I can't even begin to tell you my favorite part or anything like that, but it's a wild. I can't believe this happened to the same family. I can't believe two family members had these two completely different and crazy events happen to them. That's why it's called captive audience, because apparently these were big stories in the media. I don't remember, but I could see why they were big stories. There's even a TV movie about their life. The TV movie happens in between the big drama. So the TV movie actually is a big part of the documentary because it reflects how it changed the family and how it triggered other things. It's crazy. And it's only 3 episodes. Go watch it real quick. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. It's nuts. And one other thing I wanted to bring up. You know, I've been talking about the Wonder Years.
Yep.
It's still really, really good. They had an amazing episode 2 weeks ago. And they did a tie-in to the old Wonder Years. It's not what you think. You'll never guess what it is. But when it hits you, your mind is blown. And you're like, holy crap. It's simple. If you want to get spoiled, I did retweet. So the official Wonder Years Twitter account retweeted that scene. So if you don't want to watch the whole show, you just want to see what I'm talking about, I have it on our Twitter account. But it's nuts. And you have to remember the old Wonder Years. Yeah, I guess you don't have to, but if you remember the story of the Wonder Years, it really blows your mind. Like, my wife's like, oh, shit. It was cool. It was cool. But that's it. I did watch a lot. I don't know how much I'll watch before next episode we have, because the draft will take up, not going to lie to you, it'll take up a good chunk. So this segment might not be as good, but I'll try to get some things in that are good to fit in. Like I mentioned, you can follow us on Twitter at Spurs and Salsa. Our Facebook page is really good. People are starting to contribute a lot. Just search Spurs and Salsa. People contribute all kinds of things associated with San Antonio sports and culture. It's been a really cool page to be a part of. I'm happy that it's taken off. And our Instagram page is a little different and special. That's also at Spurs and Salsa. That's where we share our food reviews, our beer reviews, anything that we review in San Antonio. So with that, we're going to break our golden rule for the food and segment. We always review things that are local. Always, always, always. 100% local. We're about to do a review that's not quite local. We're going to review a beer that is brewed in Austin, Texas, so it's not too far. It is near and dear to every Cowboy fan's heart. They did do a launch of this beer here in San Antonio. We are drinking Troy Aikman's 8. It finally hit HEB shelves.
Yeah.
I think it was Easter weekend, right? Just in time. Yeah. So if you were camping out of Breckenridge, yeah. you had your first shot at 8 beer. Mouse is drinking it as we speak.
Yeah.
I had mine a little earlier. Mouse, go first.
Man, you hear me come on, and when we talk beers, you talk, you know, I'm usually a light beer guy, right? If I'm drinking by myself or a Cowboys game, I'm usually not buying like craft beer. I'm buying a Miller Lite. Generally, that's my go-to beer. So that's just the type of beer drinker I am. I'll drink most stuff as long as it's not too dark. But man, I love this 8 beer. I wanted to like it. So I was, but I was a little hesitant. I don't want to get let down, but it's definitely something that's going to be on, something I'm going to be drinking on Sundays during the Cowboys game, right? It's, you know, it's Troy Aikman's beer. You want to support him where you can, but you want it to taste good, and it definitely does that. It's very light. I could, you know, compound them back for a while and be fine. So I love it. I have no complaints about it. I'm definitely going to be buying this. I don't know if there's any other beer that I'll contemplate buying over Miller Lite just for a Saturday. I mean, like a Sunday football game, but this is going to be one. Like, it's going to split time with Miller Lite for me.
Do you feel like Troy Aikman when you drink it?
Yeah, I put on like an old Aikman jersey. It was like a faded number 8.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah, I did. I felt pretty good about it.
It is. The beer is exactly what Troyman said it was.
Yeah.
I heard him on NFL Network say it's a beer for guys who generally work out and don't want to grow a beer gut. I know it's like extremely organic. There's not a lot of chemicals or preservatives or anything in it. It's very it's a very basic recipe for that beer, if I'm not mistaken. And you're right, it's extremely easy to drink. Like it is light. You can taste that it's not, you know, thrown in with preservatives. It's a very, I can see where Mouse drinks 12 before he realizes that he did so. But yeah, very easy to drink, especially, you know, Troikman's from not from Texas. He lives in Texas, so he knows it gets real hot here. If you're at the river, you're outside barbecuing, or, I mean, honestly, you could drink it post-workout. Troikman really did what he said he was going to do. He created a light beer, easy to drink, not heavy at all. I could see it replacing Miller Lite in a lot of people's homes. Or Michelob Ultra. I think if you're a Michelob Ultra guy, try 8 out. I think you'll be set, not only satisfied, but I think it could win you over your Ultra. And if you're the type of guy that watches your calories and carbs, but you still want to have a beer or two during the draft, this is it. And again, if you're a Cowboys fan, you feel good about it. Troy Aikman's a good dude. He did his launch. So right when the beer came out, I think there was 3 bars in San Antonio that actually had access to it. The place that we're reviewing next week actually has it on tap. So it'll tie in next week as well. So it is kind of local. Like, he gave San Antonio some love. I think Michael Irvin came with him.
Yeah.
When he launched it. So not quite San Antonio, but I'm willing to break the rules for a Cowboy, especially Troy Aikman. So glad you like it. I want to see Mouse. We need to post a video. I want you to be slamming him down like Stone Cold.
What?
And you know what? If we're going to break our rule again, it might have to be for Stone Cold's beer because he's a Texas boy.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw it on HEB. I'm not saying we're going to. I'm just saying there's a chance. A lot of new beers are hitting San Antonio, so we might be doing quite a bit of that for the foreseeable future. But we do have a restaurant coming back next week. And again, if you're not a drinker or you don't want a light beer, but you're looking for a restaurant this weekend, go to our Instagram page. I guarantee you, you'll find something you like on there to eat. Or if you're looking for different kind of beers, maybe you're not a light guy, maybe you're an IPA or other kind of craft beers, we have tons of those. We're constantly trying to show love to our local breweries here in town. As a matter of fact, to prove my point, before we go, I went to the liquor store on Friday right by my house. And I had forgotten that San Antonio Sports Star was broadcasting live from the liquor store.
Oh.
So I went and grabbed Viva Beer, one of the beers that we reviewed here. Great friend of the show, Viva Beer. And as I'm leaving, I got my beer under my arm. And Jason Minix on air says, oh, there goes John Dyer drinking with his Viva Beer. He starts having a conversation with me on air about the beer. So don't think that we're just talking the talk here. We do. Yeah. If you were listening Friday afternoon radio, you know that we do go out and buy our local beer. So shout out to Troy Aikman. I'm pretty sure he listens to this show.
Yeah, I'll text him.
He probably wanted to know who the Cowboys should draft, so he listens to us. So, till next week, Mouse. I hope our streak of getting along regarding the Cowboys continues. But we'll see. We'll see next week.
It's bound to end soon.
It's got to, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be so pissed because they didn't fill the needs that I thought they should, but. I think we'll still be okay. Like I said, it'll be hard for them to make me mad this weekend. We'll have more to talk about. NBA playoffs, base. We're going to get knee deep into baseball. Mouse is going to give his thoughts as an Astros fan about the season so far. And the Yankees getting caught as well. But until then, go Spurs, go.